I am here in the studio with Dr. Adam DeVille. He's an associate professor and director of humanities at the University of St. Francis. Dr. DeVille, you came in today. We asked you to come in and talk about your new book. You teach ecclesiology, which is kind of the relationship between churches and faith groups.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about your book and who you wrote it for.
Yes, thank you. The book is called Everything Hidden Shall Be Revealed, Ridding the Church of Abuses of Sex and Power. And I really wrote it primarily for the Catholic Church, but drawing on the experience of Orthodox Christians and Anglican Christians as well, because I think both of them have something to offer the Catholic Church today as it's struggling to find ways to reform and to restructure itself in light of the ongoing sex abuse crisis.
What are some of those things that you have observed in the Anglican community and Eastern Orthodoxy that could offer some change to the Roman Catholic Church?
It's a really simple one that I think will be easy to implement in the Catholic world that both Anglicans and many Orthodox, especially the Armenians, do. And that is to have every parish, every local community is required to have a parish council. Currently in the Catholic world, they're optional. My book argues that they have to be mandatory, and they have to have both voice and vote for the people on the parish council, neither which exists right now in the Catholic world. And I do that because one of the big problems in the abuse crisis is the priests being moved around, shuffled around in secrecy, and nobody knows why, you know, Father so-and-so is here on Sunday of this week, and next week he's gone, and there's this new guy here. We don't know anything about why the old guy left, or why the new guy's here, or where he comes from. And that's how a lot of bishops dealt with the problem of abusive priests. They moved them around and didn't tell anybody. So one of the proposals I argue is you now have to have the parish council be told why this priest is leaving and be told about the background of the new guy coming in so that there's no more of this shuffling people around in secrecy. The bishops have to be held accountable to the people because the people have a right to know who their pastors are and what their background is.
That seems like a very simple solution, and it kind of comes as news to me that many Roman Catholic churches do not have a parish council. When we think of a parish council, would you have in mind a one that is made up of both men and women?
Absolutely. Many parishes in the Catholic world today do have parish councils, but they're optional. And the priest doesn't have to have one in the first place, and he doesn't have to listen to them, even if he does have one. So I argue they're no longer optional, they're mandatory. And they have the right of voice and vote, so the priest can't ignore them or sideline them. And I do that because too often they have been ignored, too often they have been sidelined. And so they are given now the responsibility for looking at problems within the parish. And I argue that this has to be balanced. I don't get into really fine details about how many, for example, but if you take, you know, your average committee of, say, 10 people, I think there's no reason why it shouldn't be 50-50 men and women on the parish council, working with the priest and with the bishop, so that all three of these, you know, the bishops, the priests, and the people have a responsibility for the communities that they're a part of.
What are some other potential solutions you've identified to kind of break this cycle that seems to kind of, every 15 years or so, there's like another wave of
Absolutely.
Allegations,
yep, yep.
And they seem almost more horrific than the wave before.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so I start with the parish, start with the local parish council proposal, because that's closest to home, and then I move up to successive levels. I move up to the regional or the diocesan levels, as it's called, to argue a similar change there, that people in the parishes and parish clergy have to be involved in the governance of the local diocese. Including something that we haven't seen in the Catholic world for over 100 years, but we still have in Anglicanism and Orthodoxy, which is the election of bishops. There is no reason why bishops can't be elected locally and held accountable to their people. And I lay forth a proposal in that book how that's happened in the Catholic world in the past, how it still happens in the Orthodox and Anglican worlds today, and why that's an important piece for Catholics to consider. No longer do you have these bishops able to get around accountability, but now they have to face their people, they have to be elected by their people, and they're accountable to their people for what they do and don't do when it comes to abuse, but really to any other issues as well, financial mismanagement and so on.
What are some other structural changes that you would recommend? The Catholic Church is large and vast and very top down.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and in fact, I start with that in the first chapter of the book. I say that the biggest change that we need to begin with is psychological. We need to think differently about how we imagine the church because of the top-down focus, because of this heavy personality cult that's developed around the popes for the last 200 years. I argue that we have to stop this focus on the Pope, stop standing around waiting for him to tell us what to do, waiting for him to say, well, you can do this and not this, and take the initiative to do things locally and regionally without waiting for either a yes or a no from Rome. Because, in fact, that's not his job in the first place. And we've allowed him to get away with these kind of power grabs. And in fact, a lot of us have liked that. You know, if you recall back even to November of last year when the American bishops met, stood around and did nothing because they said, well, we can't hold each other accountable. It's the Pope's job, you know? Well, there's one Pope in the world and there's 3,500 bishops. How much do you think he's going to have time to stand around and look at what 3,500 bishops are doing? He doesn't. He can't. You know, organizational theorists tell us today, you know, direct reports, right? When you're holding people accountable, 12 is the absolute maximum most of the experts recommend because you can't do a good job supervising people more than that. So we need the local structures to hold these people accountable, bishops holding each other accountable, and the people holding the bishops and the clergy accountable, because the idea that we've got to wait for the Pope to do that is a fool's errand.
Where can people find it if they want to secure a copy?
It's all over Amazon, and then it's available at Angelico Press's website as well, which is just angelicopress.com. But as I say, Amazon is kind of the place to start.
And it's everything?
Everything hidden shall be revealed, ridding the church of abuses of sex and power.
Dr. DeVille, thank you so much for coming by and talking to us today at WBOI.
You're very welcome.